If you would, take out your supplemental book, number 26.
That seems like an odd request for the beginning of the lesson, but the lesson tonight is going to be based on this song, the servant song, or Make Me a Servant. And we're going to sing that song in just a moment. And I will turn off the microphone when we do that. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." As we sing this song tonight, it's a song that teaches us about being a servant. If you notice today in both of our scripture readings, both of the scripture readings today dealt with Jesus teaching His disciples to be servants. And those things are helpful to us. And a lot of times we don't have the attitude of a servant. So before we start the lesson tonight, I want to go ahead and sing this song with you, and then we may sing it again at the end of the lesson. Number 26.
I don't know that we sang this very many times, but there were the other two as we sing it on Friday.
This song is going to be the theme of the SC camp that I'm going to be a counselor at in a few weeks. I believe also I heard that this song was also the lessons that were taught at Skyline Drive last week during their vacation Bible school. And there's a good reason for teaching this subject, because being a servant is not something that comes very easy, especially. You know, I think young people tend to be self-centered, and sometimes we don't grow out of that. And Jesus certainly was not self-centered. So we want to look at each verse of this song and take a line from each verse and learn something about it for ourselves. One of the things that we can see in the life of Christ is that there was really nothing about His life or His circumstances, His family that He was born into, that would make people sit up and take notice. In fact, it was just the very opposite. He was born to poor parents, a very humble background. In Luke chapter 2, we read about the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." You can tell by the things that they offered, but how little that they had. And, you know, it does not seem that Jesus ever had much in life, in this life, as far as material possessions or anything that would have brought his family the kind of honor that you would make him notable in the world. But, of course, he was honored, and he was notable for different reasons, but the things that make people stand up and take notice, he did not have riches or a famous family. But as he got older, he sacrificed his time to help others. If you look at Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 35, says he, "And rising up early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" And as Jesus was preparing himself and praying, there were those that were looking for him. And when people were looking for Jesus, he went and taught them and helped them. And they had the benefit of being around him. And of course, when we looked at the life of Christ several months ago in our Wednesday night Bible class, we saw throughout his life what he did for others and the compassion that he had. And the ultimate account of his compassion is his death on the cross. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Isn't that really the opposite of what many people would think would happen to the Son of God? Now, he deserves to be served, and we need to serve him today. But he didn't come here to be served, but to serve. And you can see that throughout his life. We are talking about persecution in our Wednesday night class in 1 Peter in the high school class, and we've talked about that before in the adult class, how the book of 1 Peter was written to people who were undergoing persecution, and there was going to be more persecution in their future. And Peter was telling them that they needed to rely on each other and rely on God to be able to endure that. And sometimes people endure persecution because they bring it on themselves, and sometimes they have persecution through no fault of their own. And I believe much of the persecution Peter talks about is because of that, is that kind of persecution, that they were living in a time when Christians would be persecuted. And even though they were doing the best they could, they would still endure things. But anything that we endure, anything that those people endured that Peter was talking to, doesn't compare to what Jesus endured. We consider where he came from, who he was, who he is, and he endured pain, agony, and humiliation, all for the benefit of others, all for the benefit of those that were not grateful for what he had done. And that makes it hard sometimes for people to be a servant. You know, when somebody is very appreciative of the things that you do for them, that makes it a little bit easier. And sometimes you hear people say that being a mother is a thankless job. You know, you cook and you clean and you wash clothes, and how often do the kids, you know, just lather it up and say, "Mom, you are so wonderful. You cook for me every day. You give me clean clothes. And I never complain about the clothes that you pick out for me or the things that you cook. Everything is wonderful." That probably is not your house. And if your kids are away now and not home, you know, sometimes we realize that we didn't treat our mother like we should have, or treat our father like we should have. But they do those things because they have a responsibility for us. Mothers have a responsibility to their children. Plus, they love them and want to do things for them even when the circumstances aren't the best. And Jesus did that for us. He endured the pain on the cross. He endured people spitting on Him and calling Him names and not believing what He said, all for the benefit of us. Jesus was the true embodiment of a servant. And He wanted His disciples to be servants as well. In John chapter 13, the night before He died, Jesus decided to wash His disciples' feet. Foot washing was something that was a very common practice during those days. Not that we don't want to wash our feet today, but they wore sandals. And foot washing was something that was typically done by a servant. And that created a problem for Peter because he didn't think Jesus should be doing that. In John chapter 13, starting in verse 5, it says, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, Lord, why do You wash My feet? Jesus answered and said, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to Him, You will never wash My feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with Me. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For He knew who was to betray Him. That's why He said, Not all of you are clean. When He had washed their feet and put on His outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, Do you understand what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So here Simon did not feel like Jesus should wash his feet, but Jesus said, I need to do this. You don't have any part with Me. And Jesus said, You call Me teacher and Lord. You know, you could paraphrase that and say, you know, you hold Me up on a pedestal, and rightly so because of who I am, but yet look at what I'm doing. I am not allowing you to wash My feet, but I'm washing your feet. I am taking on the role of a servant that may seem a little bit strange to you, but Jesus says, this is all going to make sense later. And of course, after Jesus died on the cross, He was buried and rose, and more truth was revealed to the disciples. They did understand. They could look back at this example and understand why Jesus did what He did, because He was the servant. He was doing what was typically done by a servant. And Peter thought, well, this is a job for people lower than Jesus. But that's exactly what Jesus wanted to teach His apostles, that they needed to be servants. And it's the same lesson for us today. We need to be servants. But most of us like to be waited upon instead of waiting on somebody else. And it really is amazing that this account was the day before Jesus died, and they're still struggling with understanding this concept about what Jesus is doing. But they had not learned the lesson yet. But the point Jesus wanted to make was that greatness in the kingdom of God would not be about a person's status, but it would be about their service. And it would be clear to us, should be clear to us, that we need to follow that example too. You know, Jesus blazed the trail when it came to being a servant. And Jesus said, you're not greater than your master. We're not greater than our Savior. So we need to follow in His footsteps. You know, we may not be able to miraculously heal the sick like Jesus. I shouldn't say we may not. We're not. We can't do that. We can't do everything that Jesus did. So how can we be a servant? Well, we can take time to help those who are in need, to visit the sick. That's one way that we can serve others. You know, with my father passing away, we saw so many people in the area around my mom and dad's home that came to help, to bring food, to do whatever it was that they could do to help. And it was much appreciated. And they did what they could. We can't feed the 5,000, but we can take food to somebody who needs it. We can't solve everybody's problems, but we can take the time to listen and comfort those who do have problems. When my sister passed away, you know, my parents obviously went through a grieving process, and my mom realized that sometimes people tried to help and say things that they thought were comforting, and things that people say sometimes are not always comforting. Or there are things that could be done or said that would be helpful. So she started making notes about things, and she wrote a book on how to help those who are grieving. And she was in a good position to do that because of the situation that she was in. So she was being served by others, but she also used that opportunity to try to serve others later by sharing things with them about how to comfort those who are grieving. What I'm saying is sometimes all we can do is listen and try to comfort those who have problems. That's how we can serve. And certainly there's many other things that could be said about that as well. But it's looking for opportunities to be a servant as Jesus did throughout His life. So the first verse talks about being a servant just like your son. The next verse talks about take all my pride. This is difficult for those that are prideful. It's a hurdle that has to be overcome. And it is something that affects many of us in our lives. If it's not us that are prideful, we may be around those who are. And both things are a challenge. But we need to make sure that pride is removed from our lives. And that is really the number one enemy as people strive to be servants. It was for the apostles. Jesus washed their feet. Well, did Jesus ever see any attributes of pride in their life? Did He ever catch on to some prideful attitudes that they may have had? Certainly that they did. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28, we see that they fought among themselves about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom. Matthew 20, verse 20, the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Him with her sons, and kneeling before Him, she asked Him for something. He said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at the left in your kingdom. Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to Him, "We are able." Did they understand what they were saying? What was the cup Jesus was about to drink? Well, He's about to be crucified in a horrible death. Are you able to handle what I'm... Oh, yeah, we can do that. We're going to be right there by you. We can handle whatever you're going to take. And so, arguing, you know, along with their mother about who would be greatest in the kingdom of God, wanting to get that, you know, there's only one left and there's only one right hand, so going to get both of them there in those prime spots. And the other disciples were not happy about that when they heard of it either. So, who's going to be the greatest? Well, wouldn't God's kingdom be in great trouble if all those who preach the gospel and all elders and all leaders and just everybody in general were competing with each other? And what if those in Jesus' day, all those disciples were competing with each other? And those that were preaching the gospel after Jesus had been after Jesus ascended and after the day of Pentecost, all of those apostles who had miraculous gifts, they all started competing with each other, wanting to be the famous. Paul wants to be the famous, and Peter wants to be the number one, and James does as well. And they all start having competition with each other. The church would have been in great trouble. The church already had a lot of trouble in the first century, and it certainly wouldn't have been helped by the people of God having hearts filled with pride, trying to one-up everybody else. Peter would not have gotten a lot of work done if he was trying to compete with John about getting attention. That's why Jesus was trying to teach them how to be a servant. They needed to have their pride destroyed. And Jesus was trying to teach them that. You know, after this incident where Jesus washed their feet, I don't know that I see another indication after that that they had a problem with pride. We do see one time when Paul, you know, talked to Peter about his hypocrisy and withstood him to his face. But look at Acts chapter 3, verse 11. Acts chapter 3, verse 11 says, "While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him.'" So here we see that there's a miracle that has been performed. And you never see one of the apostles saying, accepting the applause and say and taking credit for what it is that they've done. Peter is doing the opposite. He's saying, you know, what we've done here is not through our piety. It's not through anything that we've done. This is God that has worked this. And so pride is something that very well could have crept in, especially when you think about the miraculous gifts that they had. What a temptation it would be. But on every occasion, when you see people try to bow down before the apostles or try to give them too much credit, they will not accept it. They understood that they were servants in God's kingdom, and we need to be the same way. We live in a culture where the emphasis is on ourselves instead of others. The message that is often conveyed is it's always me first. Former wide receiver in the NFL, Terrell Owens, made a famous comment. He once said, "I love me some me." And he's not alone in that. He may be famous for saying it, but there's a lot of people that would love me some me. They love themselves. And sadly, that has crept into the church from time to time. We don't ever need to think that we're too high and mighty to do anything. You know, there's one thing that will get you in trouble on the job, and that's to say something isn't your job. You know, a lot of you know that I have been very interested in the Walt Disney Company and the life of Walt Disney over the years. I've read many stories about Walt Disney walking through the park and picking up a piece of trash. Well, you know, there's somebody that's hired to do that. You're Walt Disney, and you're picking up a piece of trash and throwing it away. Well, it's his park. He was proud of it and didn't want that to be there. Plus, he didn't consider himself to be too high and mighty to do something like that. And do we ever think that we're so full of pride that we can't do something? That we let pride get in the way? If we're not careful, brethren, we can elevate ourselves and think that we're better. But we're not. You know, we all have difficult schedules. We all need to take time to do the things that need to be done in the kingdom of God. We all need to take time to help those who are in need and comfort those who need comforting and do what we can do to be assistants to others and be the kind of servants that Christ was for us. If you remember the song that we just sang, if you were paying attention to the words, we need to be concentrating on what we're singing. We need to mean what we're singing. We sang, "For I would be lowly, humble inside, giving to others with all that I do." Is that the way that you really feel? That I want to be lowly and humble inside and giving to others in everything that I do? We need to recognize our littleness and recognize that we are just like everyone else. Without Christ, we're all lost. We're all in need of Christ and what He has done for us. And it doesn't matter about our status at work or the amount of money we may have in the bank. What matters is our relationship with God. There are a lot of things in the world today that cause people to battle with pride. And it's a battle for us to overcome it. So how do we do that? I think we can get rid of our pride by paying attention to these words in the third verse. It says, "Make me a servant filled by your might, and may all my labor shine with your light." So it's showing us somebody that is thinking about what God has done for them. Filled by your might, all my labor shine with your light. Show me your footsteps and what I should do. For now and forever, make me like you. So being filled with His might means that we're concentrating on what He would have us to do. And when we are concentrating on being a servant, then we start forgetting about ourselves. The way I can be filled with His might is by having His Word in my heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So one way we do that is through the Word, and but through singing, teaching, and we will be filled with His might. How does the Word help us? First of all, when we read the Word of God and we're really paying attention to it, and as I hear many of you pray, we pray for humble hearts. And we pray that when we hear the Word that we'll be humble enough to be obedient to it. When we are honest and read the Word of God, it shows us who we really are. James talks about the person that looks into a mirror. And I imagine that from time to time you have seen the person, or maybe you have been the person that looks like when they got up in the morning they didn't look in the mirror, or they get to work and they realize they have on two different color socks because they didn't turn on the light or something, or they have on, worse, they have on two different shoes. And I mean, two shoes that don't match. Everybody has on two different shoes, right and left. But two shoes that don't match, not from the same pair. What happens? Well, sometimes people get in a hurry and they forget to do something that's important. But when we read the Word of God and we really concentrate on it, it shows us who we really are. It's like looking into that mirror. Well, what do I see when I look into the Word of God? Have you ever read something and just felt awful? Because it brought you face to face with something that you knew that you needed to change, and perhaps you hadn't thought about that in a while. Or maybe it was a lesson that you heard. God's Word has a way of humbling us if we'll pay attention to it. It brings us down to reality. And if it doesn't bring us down to reality, if it doesn't humble us, then we're not reading it right. We're not really paying attention. And also, the author of the song says, it shows us what I need to do. Make me a servant. Show me the way. Show me what I must do. Well, God has done that for us. He has shown us the way. He has been the example. God has sent Jesus, who was the example of humility. So all I need to do is follow His example and follow His will. His will reminds us that we need to be servants. That was one of the last things that Jesus did before He died. And I think it stands out as something that was very important. It was a message His disciples really needed to know before He died, that they needed to be servants. That's how we can be filled with His might. So, we understand we need Jesus. We understand that we need His Word. I don't think anybody came here tonight and said, "Oh, I never realized that. I need Jesus and I need His Word." Well, the biggest challenge is execution. The biggest challenge for us is not understanding what it is that we need to do, but to do it. How can I be a servant? What opportunities are out there for me to do that? We need to concentrate on those things and not ignore them. We've already mentioned Mark chapter 10, verse 45. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many. I think it's fitting to end the lesson with those words and follow the example of Christ as we strive to be servants and to try to pattern our life after Him. Jesus gave His apostles a lesson on being a servant. In John chapter 13, verse 17, He says, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Again, it's about execution. And I appreciate the songs that Ashley led us in tonight. They really tie in well with the lesson. One of the ways that we can be a servant is by spreading the gospel to others. He's saying, into our hands the gospel is given. We have something that we can give to others. It's in our hands. What will we do with it? And probably one of the saddest songs that we can sing is the song, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me." And there's not a time that we sing that song that I don't think about how sad that is. For someone to be able to look at me or you. You know, "Randy, I was there. I didn't know. You never said anything. Why didn't you mention him?" That's part of being a servant. And it's part of showing our appreciation for what God has done for us. I hope these things will help you and be an encouragement to you as we look at the life of Christ and realize the kind of servant He was and what He wants us to be. If we can help you in any way be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.